Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you all are here, and I just so appreciate all of us coming together to share in this time together. So let's begin, as we usually do, by taking a few moments to go within. Noticing what's present for you right now. If there's anything that perhaps has gone on during the day, anything that you find yourself carrying at this moment. And whatever that may be, whether it's a situation, a feeling, a thought, if there's anything, just imagining that you're cupping it, you're holding it in your hands, and offering it to the Holy Spirit, being willing, touching that willingness to see it differently. Imagining that the Holy Spirit takes it, and that you're in touch with that willingness, again, to let it go, to see it differently. And dropping in to the breath, and being willing to touch that quiet, still space that we all share within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And slowly, with that love in your heart and light in your mind, and coming together to our perception of this time and place. Ah, I needed that. So welcome, everybody. We are going to pick up where we left off last week, and that is in Chapter 8 of all three editions. If you have the Sparkle edition, it is Chapter 8. The section is called The Rationale for Choice, and it's on page 175. If you have the original edition, it's also Chapter 8, and it's the third section, The Rationale for Choice. And finally, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is Chapter 8, Part 2. The subheading is different. It's called The Difference Between Imprisonment and Freedom. All right. So we'll start off with the first paragraph, The Rationale for Choice, or The Difference Between Imprisonment and Freedom. There is a rationale for choice. Only one teacher knows what your reality is. If learning that is the purpose of the curriculum, you must learn it of him. The ego does not know what it is trying to teach. It is trying to teach you what you are without knowing it. The ego is expert only in confusion. It does not understand anything else. As a teacher, then, it is totally confused and totally confusing. Even if you could disregard the Holy Spirit entirely, which is quite impossible, you could learn nothing from the ego because the ego knows nothing. And I'll pause there to see if anybody had anything come up in that paragraph.
Well, I love it.
Go on.
I'm sorry.
No, please, share.
I always love that it says the ego is confused and totally confusing.
I was
I
gonna.
said.
My comment was gonna be exactly in that same realm that you know the ego is expert only in confusion. I think that's pretty funny because how true is it? Yeah, totally confused and totally confusing. So if we listen to it, especially, you know, we're going to be confused about what it is that we really are, our true reality. Any other comments or additions or questions or insights? I also like to, just the last sentence where it says, even if you could disregard the Holy Spirit entirely, which is quite impossible, you could learn nothing from the ego because the ego knows nothing. So that to me just also speaks to the fact, that remembrance that the Holy Spirit is in everybody, even the people that, you know, the world would judge as like the bottom of the, you know, trash can, people who, you know, commit heinous crimes and that sort of thing, that the Holy Spirit is in them too. So that stood out to me as well. Let's take the next paragraph. Is there any possible reason for choosing a teacher such as this? Does the total disregard of anything it teaches make it anything but Does the total disregard of anything it teaches make anything but sense? Is this the teacher to whom a son of God should turn to find himself? The ego has never given you a sensible answer to anything. Simply on the grounds of your own experience with the ego's teaching, should not this alone disqualify it as your future teacher? Yet the ego has done more harm to your learning than this alone. Learning is joyful if it leads you along your natural path and facilitates the development of what you have. When you are taught against your nature, however, you will lose by your learning because your learning will imprison you. Your will is in your nature and therefore cannot go against it. There's a few things that stand out to me in this paragraph. Does anybody want to go first before I jump right in?
No.
So, you know, based on our past learning with our ego, why in the world would we want to keep following it, right? Like if it says it's true that simply on the grounds of our own experience with the ego's teaching, should not this alone disqualify it as your future teacher? And yet, you know, what is it that we keep looking to the ego for if we are very well aware that it, you know, its teaching has failed us in the past and doesn't make us happy? It again goes back, of course, you know, it goes back to that idea that we are profoundly confused about our identity because we think the ego is us, but it also speaks to that more underlying, more subtle piece, too, about how there is part of our mind that wants the ego, that wants to listen to it. And so that is, you know, something that when we get in touch with that we also can bring to the Holy Spirit and look at with the Holy Spirit. I just thought, too, at the bottom of that paragraph, how it said that learning is joyful if it leads you along your natural path. That, to me, just reflected how easy, you know, things can be when, again, we're listening to right-mindedness, when we're in alignment with the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit's voice rather than the ego. Our lessons become easy. And it also goes on to say, when you are taught against your nature, however, you will lose by your learning because your learning will imprison you, meaning that when we listen to the ego and learn by the ego, we're learning what isn't true about us and therefore, you know, our learning is not helping us. Our learning is harming. Not that it, again, anything can really be hurt or harmed or that anything has really happened because of this whole crazy dream, but.
You know, I was in a Course in Miracles group on Saturday, and somebody in that group talked about honesty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being honest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought to myself later on, when I think about being honest, it's like in conversation with another person. I never really, what kind of occurred to me is being honest with the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
about the fear that the ego, like that the voice of the ego can bring up such fear. I was talking to Carol about that earlier today, how I had plans to go out to Phillips Mill to take pictures because I was going to New Hope, and Phillips Mill is right near there. But whenever I'm out of my territory, you know, I always feel a little nervous. I don't know. I just don't like driving to places that I do. But I had Garmin with me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I'm going there. But I'm driving out, and it's a beautiful day. And in the back of my mind, you know, all of a sudden it became very clear to me, this voice that was saying, you know, forget about going to Phillips Mill. Don't go there. You don't know. You know, Garmin might break. You might wind up in all this fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wait a minute. That's insane. I know where Phillips Mill. I mean, it was absolutely insanity that I was listening to. And it just occurred to me, you know, rather than blowing that off, which I very often do, why not just be honest to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, that brought up a lot of fear in me, and I want to hand it over to you. I want to give it to you now. I wound up going to Phillips Mill. I had the best. I mean, I got all the pictures I wanted because I want to do a painting of this inn out there. The day just turned out so wonderful.
Paula, that was the absolute perfect example. You nailed it. You really, really, really nailed it, because that little moment when we can either blow something off, just like you said, you know, not look at it, basically, just blow it off or dismiss it, versus saying, you know, and getting honest, you're exactly right, that it's all about, honesty is all about, you know, being honest with the Holy Spirit, and just the fleeting, you know, little judgment thoughts, whatever that may be, it's all about not dismissing it, but instead being willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit, or turn it over to the Holy Spirit, however we want to say it. And so that was just absolutely perfect, because what are we doing when we're blowing it off? We're just keeping it going. We're not
you're stuffing it down, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not being healed. It's not, you know, giving the opportunity to let healing in. So that was absolutely perfect. I love that. I love it. I love it.
But it's you really need, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm moving too fast most of the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's really important, I think, to slow it down so that you can hear. It's so subtle.
Yeah.
It's like background noise.
It is. You're absolutely right. And so if you're going a million miles a minute, then, you know, you're not going to have that awareness or that mindfulness to notice what is subtly going on, because it's still there, but we can just quickly dismiss it and quickly be distracted by whatever it is that we have, you know, on our plate, on our to-do list, whatever, you know, that busyness is. And there's a quote in the course about busyness that the ego, that something about how we, you know, engage in incessant, constant distractions to, you know, keep ourselves from that moment that you just articulated, that moment of honesty, of getting honest with the Holy Spirit. That's what all the distractions are for. All of those distractions are just, you know, for the ego to keep us from touching that moment of willingness to be 100% honest with the Holy Spirit and to bring it to the Holy Spirit. The ego loves busyness and you know, that endless to-do list.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the ego sounds like my ex-boyfriend.
That's so funny.
I'm sure your ex-boyfriend was choosing to listen to it.
He just distracted me and kept me going, and I'm like, this is insanity. Need peace. Goodbye.
Oh, I love it. That's a good example. That's perfect. Bye-bye. Oh, wow. Well, I have, this is Carol. I just have an addition to add to what Paula was saying. I was very much swept into ego yesterday and some of this morning with, you know, being tired and, you know, just like Paula was saying about the busyness. And I wanted to be able to differentiate that this was the ego, and it just, I just kept feeling like it was winning. It was winning. And my husband and I were literally, quietly, you know, in our head, we were each chanting the Hawaiian prayer over and over again, because I knew this was all ego stuff going on, and he knew it too. And I was fighting it tooth and nail with like a whole, handing it over to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was sitting in a chair I sit in when I read the Course, and it's funny now, but I kept looking over and seeing the book, but I wouldn't open it. I just wouldn't open it. And I was like, you know, the only thing I could do was that Hawaiian prayer right then, but I refused to open the book. And so I said, angels, you have got to swoop down here and take care of this, because this is like way too much. And I'm telling you, within seconds, the phone rang. Within seconds, the phone rang. And we don't usually get calls Sunday morning. Who was it but Paula? And she's saying, you got to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. I'm laughing now because I needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not in a place of being able to do it. And it was just the message that, you know, she was able to, like, recite the Course.
Awesome.
So that I could hear it.
Oh.
Well, you know something? I needed to hear it, too. And everything you teach, you are learning.
Yes.
And
oh,
I'm telling you, it was as much of a help to me as it was to you, Carol. I mean,
oh,
that
yes,
really
I
was
know.
The Holy Spirit at work. Because we
and
both
I loved,
needed
I
it.
Loved hearing your story about the ego, because it was exactly what I needed to get grounded to know that, yeah, that was, you know, I wasn't willing to admit, you know, like sort of like that separation of self and knowing that, okay, I can get a grip on this kind of thing. I don't know. But it was just like that ego was just like felt overpowering.
Oh, God, yeah.
I have chills right now because I had a...
Oh, did
you? I had... I had a conflict with someone, and that's an ego thing for me. I don't like conflict, particularly when it's with other people. Mm. And I saw, Corinne, on your Facebook page that you posted a picture of the...
Darn it.
It cut out again, Deidre. You saw that I posted a picture of what?
The Hawaiian prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, it's just proving to me that we are one mind, because I needed that this week, and it was a situation that occurred, and I really think the learning was, for me, knowing that I had done all I could do and that I wasn't responsible for how perceptions were handled or, you know, learnt or anything. And it was just really, like, even this morning it was still bothering me. And it's interesting that Carol and Paula had their exchange this morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just wanted to share that.
That's awesome.
Thank
that's
you, Deidre.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. There really is, I love how you said, you know, that it's just evidence that there really just is one mind, that, you know, these we see these synchronicities, and, you know,
again, we think it's happening in a separate person, and yet it's the same, you know, we're all working to get back to that same place, which is, you know, again, that awareness that we are all connected, and we are all healing this together. How awesome. I just feel so much gratitude to have, you know, I'm just picturing all of us sort of sitting in a circle holding hands, like to have one another on the journey. So that's just really, really cool. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, I Carol, with what you were saying about, you know, sitting, you couldn't do anything but just, you know, sit on the chair and, you know, say the Hawaiian prayer, and, like, you know, you I kind of picture you there, or somebody just, like, you know, sort of like looking over at the course book out of the corner of their eye, but being like, you know, I'm not touching that thing. And for me, that Hawaiian prayer, the I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. It, for me, I'm doing the course in even just in the word I love you. Like, there's just, it's such a gentle, non-resistance feeling that comes up, that even, you know, if we feel totally resistant to, you know, doing the course or reading the course or whatever, that just that saying I love you, you know, to the divine, just saying it to me, it's been really powerful for me, just to help in a number of different ways. So I've actually been using that prayer constantly, and it's been really helping me. And that's just, again, funny because, Deidre, I felt compelled just to share that image again on Facebook, and so it's just pretty funny.
Yeah, I really appreciate it because I felt, you know, like I was repeating it in my mind, and then all of a sudden I went on Facebook and your image was there, and I was just like, wow.
That's cool. That's really cool. Oh, this is really powerful. Really powerful. All right. Am I on the third paragraph, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The ego cannot teach you anything as long as your will is free, because you will not listen to it. It is not your will to be imprisoned because your will is free. That is why the ego is the denial of free will. It is never God who coerces you, because he shares his will with you. His voice teaches only his will, but that is not the Holy Spirit's lesson, because that is what you are. The lesson is that your will and God's cannot be out of accord, because they are one. This is the undoing of everything the ego tries to teach. It is not, then, only the direction of the curriculum which must be unconflicted, but also the content. So I'll pause there. So the first sentence, I know the first time I read the first sentence, I was a little confused. The ego cannot teach you anything as long as your will is free, because you will not listen to it. And I didn't know if anybody felt that way, but for me, that just speaks to the fact that our will is free. And when we recognize that, again, we would recognize the truth about ourselves and not listen to the ego, because it's absolutely unbelievable. So the ego wants our will to be imprisoned. It wants us to think, you know, that we are separate from one another and from everything, because it doesn't want us to recognize the ego's unreality. Does anybody have any other examples or anything that even came up for you in this paragraph? I know for me, to give another sort of example about, you know, the ego, that's why the ego is the denial of free will. So, you know, this to me, what comes up for me reading this is that because the ego wants our will to not be free, because it recognizes that we wouldn't listen to it, it's going to throw any strong evidence, you know, quote unquote strong evidence, into, you know, our path to keep us from remembering what our will is. So that's where, you know, all of the sad and you know, ugly pictures of the world, the difficulties that we go through, the challenges that we might be facing on a daily basis, it all serves one purpose, and that's to keep us from remembering truth. It's there to be really strong evidence that, you know, we must be a body. This must be real if these terrible things are happening, or difficult or challenging things, whatever it may be. So that came up for me.
Corinne?
Yes.
Isn't there another section in the course that talks about, I think I'm paraphrasing here, but just that the ego wants to think, I don't know, it's like something about free will, but really we don't really truly have understanding of what free will is because we're not thinking with God. Does that sound familiar?
It does sound familiar, and I can't place.
Yeah, I think in my text study, I've only read like solidly through the first six chapters of the Foundation for Inner Peace. So maybe I think it's in that portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
But was basically saying, you know, as humans, we have our own understanding of what we think free will is, but we're mistaken in that belief as well because the true will. To truly have free will is when we're willing with God, because that's the only will there is in the universe. But we've lost sight of that because we've been distracted by all these other things that we think are free will. And somehow, like, if we join with the Holy Spirit, we're kind of not having free will anymore, but still, you know, keeping us in the land of confusion about upside-down thinking, etc.
Right.
That there's only one will, and that's willing with God.
Yes.
But we've lost sight of that.
Yep, absolutely.
That section just brought that up about, you know, how our will is imprisoned. I mean, our will is imprisoned if we think we have a will other than the one we share with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ego wants to show us and tell us that if our will is with God, then somehow we're going to be denied things, and that's our true prison. But you know, the ego's thinking is upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, you know, the ego tells us too, and again, this for me is sort of going to that, again, deeper place, if I'm really honest about what comes up for me, that to me, the ego says, you know, that the will of God, if you're aligned with the will of God, you're going to be just obliterated. Like, there's going to be no more, you know, Corinne or sense of self. That's at least what has, you know, come up for me, touching that really, really, you know, deep fear of losing your sense of self or your sense of identity. And, you know, that's absolutely, absolutely not true. And again, another belief to be looked at with the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you brought that up, Sonia. Thank you. You also summed it up very nicely and didn't even need to reference the actual section. That was perfect.
Yeah. You know, be concise with it. I just, you know, I wanted to try to get as clear so you would, like, understand what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Okay, next paragraph. The ego wants to teach you that you want to oppose God's will. This unnatural lesson cannot be learned, but the attempt to learn it is a violation of your own freedom and makes you afraid of your will because it is free. The Holy Spirit opposes any imprisoning of the will of the Son of God, knowing that the will of the Son is the Father's. The Holy Spirit leads you steadily along the path of freedom, teaching you how to disregard or look beyond everything that would hold you back. So that's an interesting piece, too, that this paragraph touches on for me, where it says, in the beginning, this unnatural lesson cannot be learned, but the attempt to learn it is a violation of your own freedom and makes you afraid of your will because it is free. That, to me, that phrase about it makes you afraid of your will because it's free, here, you know, again, the Course is teaching us that we are actually terrified of God and terrified of being punished because we believe deep down that we've done something horribly wrong by pulling off this seeming separation. So it makes us, we actually become afraid of our own will, which is the will of God, because we fear some sort of retribution, which again, God is absolutely incapable of giving. That's again just this story that the ego tells us, but it is, the Course is teaching us too, that we do carry that unconscious fear and guilt very deeply in our shared psyche. And so when, you know, as we slowly chip away the you know, even subtle feelings of guilt, feeling like, you know, we're not good enough, that we've done something wrong, as we slowly chip away, you know, we keep looking at those things with the Holy Spirit and allow them to be undone. Nook Sanchez, who I often talk about because I just really resonate with how she teaches the Course, shared in one of her seminar recordings about how she had an experience when they were in, they do like, I don't know what you would call it, like pilgrim sorts of tours in Israel, and you know, they've been to, I think, other places as well. And she said that it was when she was in Israel that she came face to face with the depth and the you know, I don't remember her words exactly, but it was like mortal terror, mortal fear and guilt, and got a glimpse of how deep that guilt really is. And she said that she felt that it would have killed her if she wasn't looking with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, that's, again, it goes back to that piece that Paula said about being 100% honest with the Holy Spirit and taking every, you know, every little thought to the Holy Spirit. Any thoughts, comments, questions, insights? We'll take the next paragraph. Oh, one more thing. I just also really like the last sentence, how the Holy Spirit leads you steadily along the path of freedom, teaching you how to disregard or look beyond everything that would hold you back. So again, we're learning how to use a different vision, the Holy Spirit's vision, rather than looking. So our body's eyes are always going to show us, you know, bodies and pain and, you know, what it is that we might perceive out there. But we're learning, as we turn those, you know, perceptions over to the Holy Spirit, we're learning how to look beyond the form to the truth that's beyond it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Isn't it?
It really is. And I kind of just got a little glimpse in my mind of how frequently, you know, I'm able to hear that voice for the ego and just say, "Ah, nah.
Not listening to you.
Not listening. No, thank you. Stop right there." You don't know how many times I say that to myself.
I love it.
Stop right there.
Oh, and that we get, it gets, as we get willing to be more and more honest, it gets easier and easier, I think, to say that, to, you know, say stop right there. And you know, it's like we're weakening the ego. And so the ego doesn't have as strong of a, you know, maybe overwhelming feeling as it would have at other times.
Absolutely.
I was reading a book by Ken Wapnick, and it made me laugh. I was reading it like in the middle of the night, and he said, when the ego starts, you just go, no, no.
It's funny that you say that, because I have so many blog posts in my mind, and I haven't yet gotten them out yet, but one of them is, I wanted to post a song. Does anybody know the group They Might Be Giants? They have a song, and it's on YouTube, and this is what I wanted to post. They have a really funny song, and it was actually a CD written for kids. And it goes, no plus no equals no, all roads lead to no, no, no. And it goes on, and it's just this, like, kind of upbeat song about no, no, no. And, it, you know, it's again, for kids. But I'll occasionally, like, that song at times has popped into my head when I've been saying no to my ego, and I'll just sort of sing along, no plus no equals no.
That's perfect. I really like that.
That is good.
I always think of Meatloaf when I stop right there, because that you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Before you go any further, and it's perfect. It's the perfect because I always love that song. I just love the melody of the song. I love that, the intensity, you know. And it just really seems to apply when, you know, I'm conscious enough to recognize that is the ego's voice I am listening to, and I will, I refuse. Stop it.
Oh, I love it.
It's almost like disciplining a little child or something, honestly.
Right. I agree. That's funny. Anybody else? Okay, let's do the next paragraph. We said before that the Holy Spirit teaches you. Wait, no, I didn't read this yet, right? No, I need to start marking my place. I think I'm constantly asking where we're at. Okay, we said before that the Holy Spirit teaches you the difference between pain and joy. This is the same as saying that he teaches you the difference between imprisonment and freedom. You cannot make this distinction without him. That is because you have taught yourself that imprisonment is freedom. Believing them to be the same, how can you tell them apart? Can you ask the part of your mind that taught you to believe they are the same to teach you the difference between them? So again, here, we can't fix our egos with our egos. We need something beyond us that sees, you know, the truth and you know, knows the truth to help us out. So we can't correct our ego with an ego. We need the Holy Spirit's help to undo it.
Again, we can't undo it. We really can't. The ego is the voice, though, that convinces you that you can.
Right.
And it is just not the truth. You can't do anything without him, really.
Yeah. And, you know, the part of the course that just popped in my head has to do, like, I don't know exactly where it is, but it talks about how, you know, maybe it's even in the supplement, the psychotherapy supplement to the course, where it talks about the ego approves and smiles in, you know, analyzing itself. Like it totally approves of that sort of, you know, the ego analysis of the ego, but bring in the Holy Spirit and forget it. That's when the ego is, you know, not into any kind of analysis anymore, because that's, again, when it knows that real healing can happen. But that part of the course just came forward for me as you were sharing that, Paula.
Yeah, the ego really is the voice that analyzes.
Definitely. I think that's even a course quote. The ego analyzes, the Holy Spirit accepts.
I was watching, I don't know if any of you had seen it on PBS, it's called The Teachings of John. It's about a boy who is retarded, and his family gave him up at first. They are both psychiatrists, I think, or psychologists.
Oh, wow.
They had to give him up in the beginning because they really didn't have, they didn't have the means to take care of him, but they wound up getting him back into the family, bringing him back. It is the most heartwarming documentary. If you go to YouTube, you can probably call it up. It is wonderful. But John, because he is, you know, doesn't have the capability, the intelligence to, well, I don't want to say intelligence, but the ability to analyze. He is just pure love.
Mm.
He brings out love in people. You'd have to see this thing.
Mm. Beautiful.
He lives a totally simple life.
And what a teacher, right? What a teacher.
Oh, my God. Really, I encourage all of you to try and find this on YouTube, The Teachings of John.
The Teachings of John.
Wonderful. It is just the most wonderful. And the whole family is, they're a great family. That's all I can say.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I'll definitely look at that. The teachings of John. All right. Next paragraph. The Holy Spirit's teaching takes only one direction and has only one goal. His direction is freedom, and his goal is God. Yet he cannot conceive of God without you, because it is not God's will to be without you. When you have learned that your will is God's, you could no more will to be without him than he could will to be without you. This is freedom, and this is joy. Deny yourself this, and you are denying God his kingdom, because he created you for this. When we said, all power and glory are yours, because the kingdom is his, this is what we meant. And I'll read the next paragraph too. The will of God is without limit, and all power and glory lie within it. It is boundless in strength and in love and in peace. It has no boundaries because its extension is unlimited, and it encompasses all things because it created all things. By creating all things, it made them part of itself. You are the will of God because this is how you were created. Because your Creator creates only like himself, you are like him. You are part of him who is all power and glory, and are therefore as unlimited as he is. I'm going to pause there. Did anything stand out for anybody in these two paragraphs? I thought it was pretty cool that just the reassurance in the second paragraph that I read when, you know, it says all power and glory are yours because the kingdom is his. This is what we meant. And just this, you know, reassurance that the will of God, which is our will. So our will is boundless in strength and in love and in peace. Our will has no boundaries because our will, the extension of our will is unlimited, and our will encompasses all things because it created all things. So again, we're in that. That reminds me that we are in that, you know, we're co-creators with God. We also, just as God has extended himself outwards and created us, we've continued that extension outwards, and we have creations like the Course talks about. Because your Creator creates only like himself, we are like him. And again, whenever we notice that tiny little voice that says anything other than that, which, haha, you know, that's the voice that we're more familiar with of the ego, you know, we can be assured that that's definitely the ego for hearing anything different than the fact that we are like God. And so our will is all power and glory, and therefore our will is unlimited as God is. I'll read the next paragraph too. To what else except all power and glory can the Holy Spirit appeal to restore God's kingdom? His appeal then is merely to what the kingdom is and for its acknowledgement of what it is. When you acknowledge this, you bring the acknowledgement automatically to everyone because you have acknowledged everyone. By your recognition, you awaken theirs, and through theirs, yours is extended. Awakening runs easily and gladly through the kingdom in answer to the call of God. This is the natural response of every son of God to the voice of his Creator, because it is the voice for his creations and for his own extension. I could read that paragraph 5 more times. I don't know if that strikes anybody.
Yeah, I'm just feeling the same way, Corinne. It's like, would you read that over again?
I'll do it again because it's that good. I mean, all of it is, but this particularly really touches me. I'm going to read it again. To what else except all power and glory can the Holy Spirit appeal to restore God's kingdom? His appeal then is merely to what the kingdom is and for its own acknowledgement of what it is. When you acknowledge this, you bring the acknowledgement automatically to everyone because you have acknowledged everyone. By your recognition, you awaken theirs, and through theirs, yours is extended. Awakening runs easily and gladly through the kingdom in answer to the call of God. This is the natural response of every son of God to the voice of his creator, because it is the voice for his creations and for his own extension.
This just explains perfectly the Hawaiian prayer.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. That's so funny that you say that. Do you want to elaborate more just how you see that explaining that prayer? Or like, are there any sentences that stand out to you?
By your recognition, you awaken theirs, and through theirs, yours is extended. Awakening runs easily and gladly through the kingdom in answer to the call of God. I mean, it's just perfect.
It is perfect. And in with the Hawaiian prayer, the man, Dr. E. Haleakala Hugh Len, one of the things that he says is that when you are erasing these programs in your mind, these memories, again, in coarse terms, the ego's voice, the ego's script, when you erase those programs by this prayer, saying to the divine, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, you're not just removing that program for you, you're removing that program for
everyone.
The entire world. It gets undone for all of us. And the last part of the prayer, the thank you, to me, has always acknowledged that just, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, it is done. That, we are healed and whole and nothing has changed despite what the body's eyes, despite what outward appearances may show us. And that, to me, in the sentence about acknowledgement, that speaks to that for me. So that thank you, saying thank you and trusting, touching that feeling that it is done, that, God's will is, we're acknowledging the truth about ourselves. We're acknowledging that we've done nothing wrong, by thinking that we're seemingly, in this dream, and we bring that acknowledgement to everyone because we have acknowledged everyone, as it says there. So that word acknowledgement particularly struck me as being being part of that last phrase in the prayer, the thank you.
I think it's really cool that this paragraph, because I've been doing that prayer so often, and that ego voice back there is saying, like, yeah, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? It's like this questioning voice. And I really try to ignore it. This paragraph I will refer to every time I forget why I'm doing it.
Mm. Awesome.
Or every time the ego, because it's the ego that wants to confuse the notion of why you're doing it. And this is so clear.
It is so clear. And it also speaks to the examples that we started with at the beginning of the call, where Carol, you shared, and, Paula, how you talked on the phone. And, it was so helpful for Carol. And Paula, you said it was just as equally helpful for you because, as you teach, you need to learn. Like, it's the same thing. And then the example, Deidre, that you shared about, the prayer going through your head, and then you go online and, there it is, because I just posted it. Like, there is the ripple effect that this is talking about, where awakening runs easily and gladly through the kingdom in answer to the call of God. So, again, that's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think in this human condition, we really need this help. I thank God right now for this. This is very helpful tonight. This is incredibly helpful.
So helpful.
This is Carol. I just want to share something else because as I'm listening, that ego has been, I've been saying that prayer a lot, and it feels like the ego, I didn't I mean, I somewhat knew it, but I'm like, okay, the ego's coming out in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I took our dog to my son's college yesterday, and we have a Samoyed. She's all white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was describing it, actually I was describing it to Paula, how it just felt weird. And I know that's a judgment, but it just felt very strange that people were coming to me, to her, in droves. Like they were just coming and wanting to pet her and be near her.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, like it was that energy of just pure love and pureness, like purity. And I'm like feeling sort of strange about it. And yet it was my ego that was judging it.
Uh-huh.
Because what you just read, it was, I don't know, I guess, again, I'm just putting my own twist on it, my own words. But, you know, be open to the kingdom. Give it to the kingdom. And it just felt like my dog has no boundary, or, you know, like she's not blocking love.
Right, right.
She was not blocking love. And people were drawn to her. And just, you know, they would walk away saying thank you. And I felt so weird. I was like, what are you thanking me? Like, it just felt, I was so worldly. I was so, like, into thinking, what is this about?
So you attracted that, in a sense, through your repetition of the Hawaiian prayer.
That's what, as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying this prayer over and over and over again. I mean, even to the point where my son's running and I'm saying the prayer. And people just kept coming and coming. And just, you know, the energy that they left with was really different than, I mean, not that their energy was terrible, but it was sort of like they just left uplifted.
Yeah, and you know, that's beautiful because the Course says that even if you're not feeling joyous yourself, and yet you still inspire joy in others, there must be something in you that's, you know, beyond, again, our seemingly little awareness, there must be something in you that's inspiring that joy, that love in others. And that's exactly, you know, even if that doubting voice is there, if you're still inspiring joy in others and you don't see it or get it or whatever, it's okay, because it's just, it's more, you know, proof, evidence that the Holy Spirit is really there and the Holy Spirit is coming through you, even if we don't see it.
Oh, I'm really, like, feeling like I'm getting affirmations all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my daughter just called me an hour ago. I had set up a horseback riding lesson with her and my little neighbor who drove 5 hours. It was her birthday today. And little neighbor, she's 13 years old. She turned 13.
Uh-huh.
And she loves animals. So I set up a horseback riding lesson for her and my daughter, and my daughter was higher than, I mean, she called and she said, oh, Mom, it was just so wonderful, and oh, we did this, and oh, I paid for like an hour and a half for a riding. They spent 4 hours with these horses.
Mm.
And wow. Again, the energy, my daughter found this ranch online. It's called Spirit Ranch.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And this facility, they help people that have emotional issues, autistic, emotional, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. And I had fear,
mm-hmm.
because I'd been talking to people about, you know, the horses and everything. And even my daughter said, Mom, her cousin had a horse fall on her leg. I mean, literally, you know, broke her leg.
Uh-huh.
And she said, Mom, I thought about that. And then I said, you know, I'm going to do this anyway. Because, I mean, I always talk to her about the Course. She knows mm-hmm. all, you know, the whole mm-hmm. spiritual. And she just, like, was so connected. And it, she said, Mom, my horse's name was Delight.
That's awesome. I just keep thinking about how, wow.
You know, it's all about joy. It's all
it
about
is.
Having
oh,
peace.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's what that Hawaiian prayer is all about.
I have to share another story about the Hawaiian prayer, and I didn't even remember it until, Carol, until you were just saying, you know, the whole story about the dogs. I started feeling a little bit under the weather this afternoon and feeling a little fear creeping up, like, oh, no, am I getting sick? And my husband and I opted to go. He went for a run, and I went for a walk near a big park that we have nearby. And the only thing that I felt capable of thinking, that, like, the Hawaiian prayer would just not leave my head. I almost had, like, a rhythm to saying it based on, like, the rhythm that I was walking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reciting it over and over and over, and I had this, like, moment of recognizing that even the thought of getting sick is a tape, a belief, a memory that can be cleaned, as they would say in the Ho'oponopono practice, that it can be cleaned, it can be undone, it can be handed over to the Holy Spirit. And I was doing that, and as I'm walking, I passed a young kid, probably like 17 years old, with this beautiful dog. I don't no idea what kind of dog it was, but it was medium size, short, kind of like rusty brown color, short fur. And so I just immediately my heart was just filled with just this like bursting love. I just fell in love with this dog. It kissed my hand when we walked by. I was like, your dog's so cute. And then on the way back to my car, I passed the kid again, and I just said to him this time, I was like, I absolutely love your dog. And, of course, I get another kiss on the hand from the dog and, you know, keep going. And then not even 30 seconds later or a minute later when I'm, you know, now far away from him, I start hearing the dog just crying, like, oh, 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 and it's not stopping. It was incessant crying, and I had to turn around and walk back and see. I started checking for my cell phone as if they would take a 911 call for a dog. Like, I didn't even know, like, you know, it just kicked in that I had to go back there to help in some way. And the moment, again, the dog was crying for like a solid, it seemed probably longer than it actually was. It was at least, I'd say, 30 seconds solid. It felt longer than that by the time I walked back. And the minute I get there, the dog stopped crying. And it turned out that the boy, like the dog, you know, was kind of a rambunctious sort of puppy and had sort of like gotten caught in his owner's legs or something. And so the kid accidentally stepped on the dog's paw. And the minute that I got there, the dog stopped crying. And so it just, you know, I think that dog loved me as much as I loved it. And if it was even just a distraction, whatever, I mean, you know, I'm sure perhaps that dog had a sore paw afterwards, but the crying immediately stopped. And again, it had been going on for a while, so it might not sound as profound as it felt to me, because again, the crying of the dog was just so distressing. But it was just a pretty cool encounter of again, just that the power I felt of that prayer, just being in that space of love and just saying over and over again, you know, I love you.
Wow.
It's really neat. Oh, so we're a few minutes over. Does anybody else have any final comments or things to add before we hang up?
I just feel so grateful.
Me too.
Yeah.
Honestly. Super grateful.
Yeah.
I feel so blessed to be able to share this work with all of you in this time. So thank you so much for coming. We'll pick up where we left off next week. Have a great week, everybody.
You
all right,
too.
Thank you. You too.
Good
bye.
Night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.